Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills. Today's episode is number 239, and I'm joined by both Ian and John of the band Mean Jesus. Now, before we dive into that, I just want to remind you guys that next week, on April 17th, Stephen of Toxic Coffin and I will be back at Keegan's Irish Pub in Virginia Beach for Horror Movie Trivia Night. Come on out if you're in the area. There'll be some prizes for the winning team, as well as a horror-themed drink menu, so it's going to be a ton of fun. Also, just make sure you go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast, as well as future horror movie trivia nights. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so the free way by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you'd like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. You'll get some stickers in the mail, a shout out on a future episode, and a couple other perks as well. So, now with all that being said, I just want to say thanks again for listening, and let's get into this week's episode.
But now, hell yeah, I'm stoked to have you guys. We could dive right in. Pretty much before jumping into the horror stuff, though, I do like to ask, you know, just about the music side of things. You guys are both in Mean Jesus. You dropped a killer record back in December, but of course, now it's 2024. Do you guys have anything coming up, you know, the rest of the year that you want to shout out, whether it's, you know, new music or even just, you know, some shows or anything like that?
Yeah, so we just signed to New Age Records. Oh, yeah. New Age is going to be putting Abomination out on vinyl. Pre-orders should be up by the time this is out. If they're not, just keep everybody's eye out on them. We're writing new music right now. Just got back from a little tour. Yeah, and we're trying to hit 2024 right into 2025. So just keeping it going. Abomination is still pretty new, so just pushing it and doing what we can for it.
Hell yeah, yeah. There's definitely no rush for a new record, you know, right away because it, you know, came out at so close to the end of 2023. It was, you know, you could still count it as a new release for 2024 at this point. So
yeah.
I don't blame you guys. Want to get that in front of as many people as possible before moving on from it, you know. So, but hell yeah, you guys have any other projects you guys play in, or you know anything that maybe isn't even music related? Like, do you Twitch or, you know, have your own podcast or anything you want to shout out before going into the horror stuff? Or
nothing like that.
Yeah. I mean, I play drums for a few people here and there, but
oh yeah, you want to shout them out or?
Like, yeah, no, I mean, Logan Bath, he's like a singer-songwriter in my area. Not at all like the Mean Jesus thing, but, you know, I like to be able to do, if I'm only doing one kind of music, I feel like I like to have the, you know, extremes, right?
Yeah.
To keep myself kind of balanced and everything, so I feel fulfilled.
Hell yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. I just had Ben Hilton on from Death Before Dishonor. You know, he plays drums for them, but he also plays drums for like a lot. He plays drums for like a female singer that does like her own stuff as well. So,
yeah.
And I've had a few people like that, you know, that do that stuff. So, it's pretty, like, for instance, I'm going to the Gore show tomorrow, you know, at the Norva, and my buddy Jay plays for the Cancer Bats, and he also plays for this band called Julie and the Wrong Guys. So it's like, where it's like a female fronted band where she's pretty much like the star, you know, and they just kind of, they're the wrong guys. So
yeah. Cancer Bats rip, man. I love them.
Nah, same. That's pretty much why I'm going. And of course it's just I've never seen Gwar. So it's like just checking that one off the list type of thing, even though they're from Richmond. Yeah. I've never seen them. So you guys are from the Hampton Roads area, right? The VA area.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Not far from the Norba, actually, like you said. So
yeah. Hell yeah. Now I'm from Elizabeth City. I, you know, pretty much went to shows in Norfolk, Virginia Beach growing up, but kind of died out more recently, just, you know, having a kid, and I work at the Outer Banks, so it's, you know, like it's not as easy to get off and come up to a show as it was, you know, when I worked like in town and stuff. So
cool.
But hell yeah, we can dive into the horror side of things. Pretty much my first question with that is, you know, what was your relationship with horror movies growing up, and did it change at all as you got older and became an adult? And whoever wants to jump in first, you know, John, if you want to take this one first, since Ian went first with.
Okay. Since I'm way older. So, so I went from like being terrified of horror movies when I was a kid. Like, I actually made some notes in case I forgot, but like, I was like, I don't know, 7, 6 when Silent Night, Deadly Night, when they were showing the commercials for that. And I just remember I was having this like picturesque little kid Saturday morning. And I see, you know, it's around Christmas time, and I see Santa on TV, and I'm like, yes. And then he like pulls out a gun or a knife or whatever he does in the original. You can find it on YouTube. Yeah. And I think I like ran up to my, I was the only one awake, and I like ran up to my parents' room, and I was so scared. You know, it was just like, how could you do that with Santa Claus? And like, I saw Amityville at an early age, and I was really like, really into that. You know, it just, it was like, you know, if you like touch something hot to see how hot it is, like I was like that kind of thing, like just kind of, but I had nightmares a lot from it. And like, I saw Friday the 13th with my grandmother and like my aunt and my cousin and my parents and sister at my grandma's house. And I was a wreck that night. Like I was terrified. I think it was like a night terror, honestly, but I woke up, I thought everyone in the house was going to turn on me and kill me. It was insane. Like I remember my cousin trying to talk some sense into me, and we're like, you know, kids. Yeah. It was absolutely insane. And somewhere along the way, I guess I started liking him.
Oh yeah. That's
I think it was like there was a show on USA Network when I was a kid called Commander USA's Groovy Movies. That's worth the Google, because it was so insane. Oh, yeah. And it was like this super cheap, you know, he said he like dressed up like a superhero, but like intentionally cheap looking, you know, like makeup for the little eye thing. And he had his sidekick was his hand, like a hand puppet, like his actual hand with eyeballs on it. And he would just show like, he'd toggle between like horror and like, you know, kung fu movies and stuff. And that kind of like him kind of making fun of him was like before the Mystery Science Theater thing kind of happened, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, this is like a grown up. He's making fun of this stuff. And that actually helped me get into him. Like, okay, it's just a movie. I get it, you know?
Yeah. Hell yeah. But, you know, somebody to show you the behind the scenes stuff as well as kind of riff on it a little bit.
Yeah. Sure. And then that, and like just going to like the video store, and you know, I would like go into the horror room, and it was like a perfect, you know, closet type thing, so that you have like posters all around and stuff, and just like stare. And it's so funny because all those movies, I thought they were so legit seeing the posters, and I watch them all now, and I'm really into like garbage horror now, and they're all such trash, you know. But yeah. When you're a kid, you're like, oh my god, this is like, this must be like a cinematic masterpiece, you know.
Oh yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. I had the same experience growing up. Like I was scared of the, you know, as pretty much everything I saw. Like I remember my mom telling me I was scared of the mask, you know, when he puts the mask on and it like takes over. Yeah. She was like, you freaked the fuck out. Like you're a dip.
I remember asking my mom, I'm in my 40s. So I asked my mom if we could leave Gremlins in the theater, because it was getting a little bit too heavy for me, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it.
No, hell yeah. And then of course it's the same thing with like the VHSs, you know, when you go into a store, you see all these covers that look crazy, like even Evil Dead 2, which is like just a fun little you know, like the movie itself is super campy and it does have some scary like stuff, like the Deadites just look crazy in it, but like the cover itself is just like this crazy looking skull, you know, that like makes you think it's going to be one of the scariest movies ever, but then when you finally watch it, it's like one of the funniest and the funnest horror movies in general. But
yeah absolutely.
No, but what about you, Ian? What was your relationship with them growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in a household that loved Halloween, like the time of year. So, like from a young age, it was like we wanted October. So, like Halloween is one of my favorite. Like as a kid growing up, watching, but I also liked a lot of like monster-ish kind of movies back then. Like Jaws is still one of my favorite movies, and that's, I mean, back then, like. I mean, I still know people to this day that don't like going into the ocean because of Jaws, yeah. You know? So like, I started off with a lot of like Jaws and Jurassic Park, even as a horror film instead of a like science-y kind of whatever. But, you know, growing up, I was always watching X-Files, anything that had anything to do with like dark ghosts, like aliens, monsters, like I was all about it at all times. Like I had to just be about it. I remember wanting to watch It when I was young, and my parents were like, when you hit 10, you can watch It. And I was just like waiting for my 10th birthday so I could watch It.
And that the movie, one that was like the TV version?
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, and that's still one of the scariest scenes, I think, as a child, like running to that white house. There's something about that scene that just like still like kind of like wigs me out. But yeah, so growing up, I was just always about horror films. Like, what do you want to rent? Go rent a horror film. I didn't care what it was, you know, Monster in the Closet, Kids Underneath the Stairs or whatever, like People Underneath the Stairs, which we talked a lot about.
We did, yeah.
But, loved it.
Oh yeah, no, the It miniseries was one of the first ones that I saw too, because that was one of the another thing that like kind of got me into horror later on. It was like nobody in my family was big on horror, but my mom was a big Stephen King fan, so she did watch stuff. And I caught glimpses of that, and I'm pretty sure there was a week where I stunk because I was not getting anywhere near a shower once he like pops out of the drain and shit. I was like, "Fuck that!" So yeah. I'm sure they had to fight me for a good week or so to shower after that shit. So
My mom was a huge Stephen King fan. Got like anything that was Stephen King, we watched it. It was Silver Bullet is one of
Silver Bullet is great. I watched that last year.
Yeah, there was a few times where in my childhood where. We would tell this neighborhood kid that there was a werewolf in my backyard, so he wouldn't come over. And there was a few times that me and my brother like scared ourselves so much that we were like, "Yo, there's a fucking werewolf back there, dude. I'm not going back there," you know. So, we were just constantly just horror films all the time. I remember my parents went to go see Scream, which is one of my favorite like franchises, and they came home and they were like, "We think we could take you to see Scream." So they like two weeks later or something, they took us to see Scream in a theater, and it was just like the greatest thing. Like they would go watch it first and then say, "I think you guys are ready. I think you guys can watch it."
I have a similar program in my house.
It was pretty rad.
Hell yeah. No, my dad would pretty much wing it when he had me on the weekends, but my mom, when I was home, she was like, "I gotta see it first." And then I'd come back after and be like, "Oh, my dad already let me watch it." She'd be like, "Son of a bitch."
Yeah.
My dad came home with like Mausoleum. We were pretty new to the VCR world at this point. And he just comes home with Mausoleum for me. My sister's older than me. But, I was like, not even 10. And he's like, "Hey, check this out. It looks pretty cool." So, I think that's a dad thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's a deep cut, too, Mausoleum. That's one that most people
don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's all my stuff is like that. I mean, if you just go on Tubi, you'll probably find at least half of the ones that I enjoy. But
true.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, we can dive into... you guys' favorites. Ian, since John started first with his relationship, do you want to go first with what's some of your favorites? And if you have a favorite of all time, you can shout that out, but you can also shout out, a few that sit near the top as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, my favorite of all time, I could turn it on it's a tie. I got a tie. I got The Shining. I could just turn that movie on and it could be just background music. Like that and Halloween, original Halloween 1978, like turn that on and I'll watch it a million times. I don't care what's going on with it. But Cabin in the Woods is probably my favorite horror films as well. Like definitely top five and probably one of my top five movies of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And 28 Days Later, I went and saw that in theaters like six times. Like it was insane. Like every night for like the first week it was out, 28 Days Later, I was there. Like just everything about that movie is great. And
so the second one or the first?
No, that was the first one. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I love it. Just love that movie.
Hell yeah. Now I'm excited that they're finally returning for 28 years later.
Oh, I know.
But they did like months, right? Was there a second one or am I
it was a week.
Yeah. Weeks. Okay. Cool. So just skip months altogether.
Yeah. They just went straight to
Which Weeks had a stack cast as well. It had like Jeremy Renner, Idris Elba, Rose Byrne, Imogen Poots, a bunch of people before they really took off in their career. So I like that one as well. But now the first one, the one cool thing about that one is that they can never like completely restore it and make it look pretty because of the way it was filmed. So it'll always have that grain to it no matter what. So it'll have like a classic vibe to it. But what about you, John? What's your favorites?
I'm really bad at picking favorite anything. So I'm going to do like Ian did for something I can always have on. And again, I lately, last couple of years, I've gone way more into the camp side than like the actual scary side.
Yeah.
So the Abominable Dr. Fives is probably my favorite. Like, I just love, it's just so weird. It's so over the top, it's so nonsensical. But that's one of those movies where I have two movies on my, every time I keep them on like the hard drive of my phone, just so I always have access to them. And that's one of those movies. Like, so I don't need an internet connection or anything. I can just watch it at any point.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm more like, if there's a part three and if it came in 3D, I have to watch it, right? And those are the worst because the 3D gimmick is the entire plot point.
Yeah.
But not 3D, but I'm like a big Halloween 3 fan. That's when I just watch, if I'm like, if I have a copy of it, or I just put it on day after day kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that might be it for those two. I'm a big Wraith fan too. I don't know if that's really horror, but.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, I finally convinced my son to watch that movie, and he did. He did enjoy it. So I feel like my parenting job is done, you know.
Oh yeah. No, Halloween 3 is one that, like, as of recently, like recent years, it's become a little bit more easy to find and streaming and stuff. But for the longest time, it was hard to find. Like, and that's the thing is, like, even, you know, having it on Blu-ray, it's so much easier to throw something on that's on streaming.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. It's like I'd watch it so much more often if it, you know, it was just on like three or four channels. Like some of these things are like, you know, so many of the other ones, you know, we mentioned were on, you know, are easily found on Tubi if not on Netflix or at least Hulu or something. But that's one that like usually it was on Shudder for a little bit. And I think it's already back off of that. So I don't
know, but if it's on Shudder, it sucks because if you want to like put yourself through the torture of watching the whole Halloween franchise, which, you know, you don't really want to do past, you know, what, four or five is not good.
Yeah.
But, it sucks because it's like they'll have like 1, 2, and 4, and then you got to find 3 somewhere else. You know, they rarely have like the whole catalog, but
yeah. And there's always those weird ones that have like Phantasm 2 has such weird like rights for some reason that it's like Phantasm 2 is so hard to find. And that
I love that. I had that. I recorded that from like HBO when I was a kid. I watched it so much. I mean, I like Phantasm 1 more, but 2 was pretty sick.
Yeah, but that's like on Shudder right now. They literally have all of them, but 2, and it's been that way like since Shudder started. And it's
if
it's
I had my tape of it, I'd loan it to you. But
no, actually, I don't know if you see that. I got the Spear right here, so I got the collection.
Oh, nice.
Like, is it like at the top of the shelf is like the actual booklet with them all? So I have it on Blu-ray. It's just one of those. Again, it's just like so much easier to throw it on. Yeah. But it's streaming somewhere.
You gotta like unplug your Switch and plug the Blu-ray player in, and that HDMI. You know, it's like a whole thing.
No, definitely. But luckily, I got the. Just PS4 constantly hooked up so that way I can throw some Blu-rays on and shit like that. But because I'm like a obviously physical media collector, so I always get them, and sometimes like to check out the special features and stuff to find out, you know, behind the scenes stuff. And,
but which is like a lost thing, you know, like I love like I mean, even like a goof track, it's like, or you know, like the mess up, the bloopers or whatever. It's like you don't really see this stuff anymore without the physical media out there, and it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and for a while people were putting like a lot of the deleted scenes on YouTube, but it seems like that's already kind of stopped as well, you know, like that was just like a quick fad for, you know, studios and stuff. Mostly it feels like during the pandemic more than anything, but hell yeah, we can and then of course Ian, you mentioned, you know, Cabin in the Woods, which is, you know, like a more recent one. Do you guys and of course 28 Weeks Later is not too old. I mean, I guess at this point it's 28 years because they're making the sequel called
Years,
but what's some other ones that you guys enjoyed recently, like in recent times? And they could be, you know, just a recent first time watch, or, you know, like a new release that you guys caught and really enjoyed.
So I just watched When Evil Lurks.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie was just mind blowing. Like, that was some. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, that was actually, I think that was like the last movie. Well, actually, it might have been Godzilla Minus One, but that was like one of the last movies I caught at Greenbrier before they shut that theater down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I watched it. I had the flu like 3 weeks ago, and I was just like, all right, I'm gonna watch this movie. Like, my girlfriend's not coming. My girlfriend hates horror films, so like, will not watch them with me. But so if I'm sick or she's out of town, I'm like, okay, what am I watching? I got like a list. Like, what do I gotta watch? But that movie was wild.
Yeah.
The Witch. I love The Witch. I don't know if that's really like a horror. I mean, a lot of these movies I don't think are horror, but a lot of people, I guess, would put them into the horror like genre. The Witch isn't very scary, but
it's like folk horror, I guess. Like,
yeah but it's just great. And then have you seen The Shrine?
No, actually I think I've like seen it in passing, but I've never actually watched it.
That movie is great. Like, watch it. It's a great movie. I tell every single person I meet that we talk horror films, I'm like, you seen The Shrine? No, I've never heard of it. Or I've seen it on Netflix scrolling through, but just always pass it. It's great.
Great. Is it where the three people go out like on a trip and they go somewhere and visit, and then when they leave they have like something's wrong with one of them?
They go to Poland. A couple of people go to Poland to like find out what happened to these backpackers that like went missing, and just no one's talking about them. And they stumble upon this little town that like everybody's weird, of course, you know, everyone's like, no outsiders allowed. And just the stuff that they find and the reason behind like why they shut everybody out is just, it was pretty cool. And I've shown it to a lot of people and they're like, man, it was, you know, a really good movie. So Shrine is one that it came out in 2010, but a lot of people don't know about it. So it's still kind of new to, I guess, to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think I was thinking of mixing it up with that movie. There's a movie called Temple as well that is the, like kind of what I was talking about, and I think they're both on Netflix, or at least were at the time. And it was one of those nights where I was like looking at the, you know, both of the synopsises, and I think I went with Temple and then fell asleep during it, so it didn't matter anyway. But no, I'm with you though. My wife like hates horror movies. She of course watches them for my sake because obviously I love them, but. Yeah. It's one of those things where she definitely like she'll definitely not watch something like When Evil Lurks.
She would have been gone
the other day. I can't remember what it was, but it was something where it was showing clips, you know, like it wasn't even like actually watching the movie, but it was like a countdown, and she knows that I love the movie, but like I never really got into specifics about it. I was just like, yeah, it's not one for you. And so it showed the dog scene where it bites, you know, bites something. I won't ruin it in case John hasn't seen it, because definitely need to check out When Evil Lurks. But she like was legit pissed at me for laughing. I was like, I'm sorry. Like that shit was kind of rough. It's definitely got a few scenes though that will stick with you in that one for sure.
There's,
but
there's several scenes where it's like, damn. You know, when she's walking down the street carrying her kid, it's like, damn.
I'll definitely add the Shrine to the list for sure though. That's sounds right in my alley type of movie for sure. What about you, John? What's some of the more recent releases that you
So I haven't seen a horror movie like in, if I have, I've forgotten. So can we just say like 2000s is fairly recent? Okay. So I really loved like the, I think they're all friends too that did these, but like the first one was House of the Devil.
I realize I love
a slow burn. Maybe it's because I'm actually like, I like setup now more than actual events in horror movies, you know? Like I like Michael Myers looking behind the like, the shrub, the hedges versus like the actual hacking people up type stuff. And so that was cool. And then like, what was the one, I think he was in that, he was in yelling to my wife, cause I know she can hear this probably and knows the name, You're Next, which is sort of adventure, but I absolutely love that movie. Like, I feel like for me, You're Next is like for you, Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah,
you
know, I love it. Your Next
I absolutely
great.
Love it. It's so, you know, it just had it all. And then, he did the Innkeepers too. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, the one that's based on the hotel up in Connecticut, I think it is.
Yeah, and I actually liked how, like, if you think you're a slow burn person, the Innkeepers will put you to the test, because it's like there was no burn until the last like minute of the movie, which is a spoiler. I'm sorry, but you know it's old, whatever. But like, I was convinced nothing is going to happen in this entire movie. You know, I was convinced because it's so slow, and I absolutely. Like, completely loved it, because that's how you keep it fresh. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just do the same movie over and over again. Oh my God, we're going to out-violent this movie. But, you know, it's like it was like a new angle for me, or maybe an old one, but, you know, where they just do something nobody else is doing. I mean, it was impossibly slow. And I thought that was super cool. And I liked the, I get all these mixed up, but like Insidious and Sinister. And then there was a third one, I forget.
All right, Conjuring.
Yeah, The Conjuring. Yeah. I don't know if those are related or it just linked in my head, but I really like all three of those. That might have been the last horror I saw in the theater, though. Jeez.
Insidious and Conjuring are related because they're both directed by James Wan and written by him and Lee Whannell. And then, but Sinister, I think, was just Blumhouse, which is the same company that did those before James Wan went on to create Atomic Monster, I think is his company. But now they've like remerged back or whatever. Oh, no, his company's not Atomic Monster. That's J.J. Abrams. His company is Creepy Puppet or something like that. Those are all linked, plus they just kind of came out around the same time, and like a lot of people equate those to like rejuvenating horror, especially supernatural stuff, you know, because those really brought back, like Insidious did supernatural in like a modern time, Conjuring did like a classic one, and Sinister had like a character doing it, so it like almost did like all three supernatural things, boom boom boom, and did it great, you know, all three really stand out. So
really like those.
No, hell yeah. And I'm a big fan of Ty West myself, the guy that did all those movies you mentioned before. Yeah. House of the Devil's still my favorite of his, and probably in my top 10 of all time horror movies. But he recently did X and Pearl. Did you check those out by chance?
No, I haven't caught. I don't think I've seen anything in a while. So
no, both of those are, I know X, which is, X was the first one, and then Pearl's a prequel. I know X for sure is on Netflix. So I highly recommend checking that out. I think you'll enjoy that.
Does it still have his, like, his thing, you know? Is it like, can you recognize it as one of his movies, or is it, you know?
It's a little bit more cleaner than some of his older stuff, but in a way that, it almost feels like growth instead of, like, all this feels like a different director. You know what I mean?
Okay, cool. Yeah.
No, X and Pearl are great. I like Pearl more, but only because it's, like, so different, because it takes place in 1918. So it's, like, such a different style of movie. But
yeah, it sounds cool.
Hell yeah. So pretty much in the back third of the show, I like to ask, you know, like two hypothetical questions and then one question to end the show. And of course, if you guys think of any movies you want to shout out or anything like that, feel free to just, you know, shout them out. But pretty much the first hypothetical question that I have is, would you guys ever want to score a horror movie? And then if so, you know, what subgenre would you want to choose? You know, zombies, slasher, supernatural, you know, even sci-fi?
I mean, I'm just a drummer, so that'd be a weird soundtrack.
But Dude's a goblin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love that stuff. Like, I was just watching an Italian horror movie, like a bad one, but like earlier today. But yeah, Hell of the Living Dead. I started that up. I don't know if you've seen it. But I love that, like kind of funky horror sound they had in those movies, you know, like the from that era. I absolutely love that. So you didn't ask what kind of music, but I would hopefully be involved with something like that, where, you know, not like metal or anything, nothing. I like it when it's like dark, but it's a genre that you don't normally associate with being scared, right? Like that kind of stuff. So I think that makes it more unique and kind of special. But as for the type of movie, I don't know. So for me, like the Stepford Wives type stuff, which I feel like that would make a cool double feature with Halloween 3, because it's a similar type of thing. Something like that, where it's got that sci-fi, but like I like the 70s, 80s sci-fi look to it. So that mixed with horror kind of thing. So I guess this is what my improbable scenario would involve time travel too. So
hell yeah. You always do a time period piece or something like that.
But Yeah.
What about you?
Like, there was a band, Zombie. Have you heard them? They were kind of doing that thing a couple, you know, 10 years ago or so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Named after the Italian movie Zombie. Spelled weird.
Yeah.
How about you?
What was the question again? I've been trying to figure out what it was.
Well, would you ever want to score a horror movie? And if so, what subgenre would you want to do as far as like horror movie? Would you want to do a slasher, sci-fi, you know, zombie? Or
yeah. Okay, now I understand the answers. I mean, if I could, I listen to a lot of like ambient, like, and explosions in the sky. Like pretty much all day long for 10 hours a day at work, I'm just listening to movie scores. So I've been listening to a lot of this band, Lowercase Sounds, and there's this one song that I absolutely love by them, and it sounds like it'd be something in a horror film, and that's why I kind of like a real, I guess what I would do is I'm real into like paranormal, but like real creepy, like satanic stuff and like occult. So if I could put together like a cool, like just creepy, weird occult movie and put these kinds of, you know, songs to it, I definitely would. But it would be a lot of like ambient, weird noise, stuff that you'd almost fall asleep to, but you might not want to because you don't know what the hell's about to happen type thing.
I'll sign on to that project.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a good movie. I listened to this one song, I just keep pressing repeat. And it definitely sounds like something that would be in some weird, like occult type movie. Yeah.
Hell yeah. No, I love those types of scores because it's always like the type of the score itself is like you guys said, it's like it could be something very normal, like people just kind of sitting in a room together, but the score itself is what makes it, you know, feel scary and unsettling and stuff. So, oh yeah.
And even like just the, like when we were talking about, like, I don't know about metal or rock and roll or anything, like one song that always reminds me, like The Faculty, like I wanted to see The Faculty because of that. Was it Deep Purple? Someone like redid a Deep Purple song or something.
It's like, this is really
No. It was Souls Out for Summer, right?
The Alice Cooper song?
Yeah.
No, is that what was somebody, was that Scream that did that? Somebody else did that too.
That was a Deep Purple song, Scream, correct?
God, I don't know.
No, anyway. I know what you did last summer opens up with a cover of Summer Breeze by Type O Negative.
Okay, that's Summer Breeze.
Yeah. But I think all, like in that time frame, like those like mid 90s, like every single movie had like a redo of like an older song, and it was just like, as you know, a 13-year-old kid, I was just like, this is sick, dude, like sign me up. So I mean, I definitely can have that in my heart too, because it's like I'm into all of those type of movies, and if someone made another like 90s type of like horror film, like
it's so funny because the 90s horror film was like a throwback to the slasher film. You know, they wouldn't have called it like a 90s, you know what I mean? They thought they were being like retro, it seems like. But that's cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But definitely.
Now I'm waiting for somebody to do like a heavy version of Alanis Morissette's Uninvited for fucking a horror movie. Dude, that should be heavy.
That'd be sick.
No shame. But yeah. And then, of course, the second of the hypothetical questions is if somebody approached you guys and wanted to make a music video for Mean Jesus, and of course, you know, being completely hypothetical, you know, budget's out the window, but they wanted it to be a short version of one of your favorite horror movies, just, you know, made into a music video featuring you and the guys, which movie would you choose and how would you do it into a music video?
God.
And feel free to, you know, take the time to think about it, because like I said, I'll edit this down.
I mean, I might need to get back to you next week. For that I mean, one. There are like 100 answers, you know? Yeah.
And I've actually been thinking about, like, doing a music video, like reaching out to some people that I know in this area that own studios and do this type of stuff. So it's kind of already been on my mind.
Oh.
But
you don't want any input from me, because I watch Clint Howard.
Yeah, movies, I mean, so. it's no secret that Tone Attorney is probably my favorite song. It's like a minute long. It's just like fast as hell the whole time with a gnarly breakdown. I mean, You know, actually, what would be really cool, it might be a little, but, you know, horror films are kind of fucked up. Our song Pursuit of Guilt is about, like, police brutality and stuff, which is a horror in itself, which people live through every single day. So maybe having something that had to do with that, that might be too, it might be too real of a...
Type.
Yeah, I mean, every cop is a maniac, in my opinion. But you know, but I mean, yeah. What else? Greed Overgrown is about pretty much corporations and politicians not listening to a word that we have to say. We're going to end up dying from you know, pollution, from sea level rise, from deforestation, which is all horrors in itself, and. That would probably be a cool video to put, you know, just the realism of, like, we're going to perish, like, and no one cares, you know, like, they're just words and no one cares and we're just going to die. So that might be a pretty good one if I was going to make, like, a horror filmish type thing.
Yeah, but you could always, like, equate that with, like, The Purge almost, you know, with the way that it starts, because the rich are just trying to pretty much clear out the unrich, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly, it's exactly what that song's about. So I always try to put, like, a real kind of feeling into the songs that I've written. Four of them Keith wrote. His was one of the police brutality ones. But I always kind of, and I live in a very dark kind of, I view the world in a very dark way. And it's just, yeah, I mean, every day is a horror, in my opinion. So it's just like, yeah. So I could probably come up with something pretty good, you know, given the chance and the money.
No, definitely. I know what you mean. It's, and you know, you can't even turn on the news now that, you know, like, it was literally back to back, you know, just horror story after horror story, you know, from the Ukraine war stuff to the Palestinian, you know, Israel war. It's like literally just as soon as one thing ends, it's like another thing. And some of that stuff doesn't even end. It's just one thing gets bigger in the news. It's just so you stop hearing about the one thing and it's still going on. So it's like,
yeah, exactly.
What about you, John? Do you have a fun answer here with the Ice Cream Man? I know you said.
I mean, I can't say anything after, like, we got all serious. You know what I mean?
But you can. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
No, I didn't like that actually. But I don't know. Like, I would just something in the style like Phantasm or something would be more my thing. You know, like, just, I don't know. I like the visuals of that. And I've been watching Black Roses lately, which is garbage. I used to say there was only the only trauma movie that got a pass was Toxic Avenger.
I got a couple more.
Black Roses, it's except for like the way their actual like faces look when they're in like the monster mode. I love that movie. You know, yeah. I mean, it's garbage, but I absolutely love it. So, and it had a rock band in it. You know, I mean, maybe, but I mean, it's pretty silly. So.
Right, the movie's Tipper Gore's Wet Dream in the '80s when it fucking came out, because it's
they roll up on like two Lamborghinis. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like the most '80s thing, you know.
Yeah, no, I love that movie. My favorite thing is like watching old movies like that and seeing people in the extras that were obviously like from like actual like metal scenes and stuff, because there's like a kid in a Cro-Mag shirt, like the very first like scene in the movie. I wish I could remember that song. I was singing it the other day, but now it's like not popping in my head, but. The very first song that they sing and like just sing the shit out of it throughout the movie pretty much. But I think it was is it Lizzie Borden, the band that does the music for that?
I don't know. I know, being a drum geek, I know who the drummer was, but he was like Dio's drummer for a while and stuff. Wait, was it Vinny or Carmen? They're two brothers that play drums, but I think it was Vinny, who was Dio's drummer. Yeah. Like, you know, all these like big hard rock gigs and stuff, you know.
Oh yeah.
But I don't remember who the actual band was.
No, I love Black Roses. I had Frank Dietz, who was in Black Roses, Zombie Nightmare, Rock and Roll Nightmare. He's in pretty much a bunch of like really shitty 80s movies, and I had him on the show to just chat about that stuff. So,
cool.
I've watched Black Roses pretty recently because it's been about a year now, but I'll throw it on from time to time just because the music, it's like one of those background things because there's just fun music in between and then random other shit that's just fun.
Yeah.
Catching stuff.
And it's like, you know, in the 80s, like all the thrash bands and stuff, they were all into horror, you know, and like it just kind of has that. It's almost like a giving it back, like acknowledging their fan base kind of movie and like trying to give it a little back to them, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Like, It wasn't like a one-way relationship, right? It was like, you know, instead of just metal bands liking horror movies, it was like the horror movie kind of salutes. I'm not saying it was a real metal band or anything in it, but, you know, they tried.
Yeah, definitely. Especially for the time and stuff like that. But And then have you guys ever heard of the trauma movie Lolly Love? That's one that I always feel like doesn't get enough attention.
No.
It's actually like a dark comedy. It's not even like trying to be horror at all, and it's kind of more, it's not gross at all like any of the other films. It's pretty much James Gunn and Jenna Fischer when they were still together.
Oh wow.
I think James Gunn like co-wrote it with her, and then Jenna Fischer directs it, and pretty much they play themselves, and what they're trying to do is start a company where they give lollipops with like inspirational messages out to the homeless, and they're trying to start like a non-profit like foundation that does that. So like the whole movie's cringe humor, but I thought it was fucking hilarious. But like I think there's two other people that are
and
in
this.
I think
trauma?
It's Jason Segel. Yeah, it was very early because James Gunn was still married to Jenna Fischer at the time and stuff like that. So
Have you heard of The Taint?
No, I had to check that
out. So The Taint, Troma ended up buying The Taint. But my brother and a bunch of his friends, like from Richmond, Virginia, like filmed everything in Richmond, like created this whole like movie, like filmed it, everything, edited it. One of the dudes did like the whole movie score for it. And my brother calls me up. My brother and his friends have been making movies, like shorts and all this stuff, in high school up in Falls Church, Virginia. And he calls me up one day and he's like, "Hey man, we're making a movie. You want to be in it?" And I'm like, "No, I don't want to be in a dumbass movie with you and your friends, man. Like, I'm not driving to Richmond to like be in whatever the hell you guys are creating now." And then next thing you know, Troma buys it. And like, it's like it's a great just dumb horror film, but like my brother and all of his friends that like grew up coming to our house and listening to punk rock and all these kids that were in like my brother's bands back in the day, like they're all in this movie. One of them directed it. Like, it's pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
And Trauma Pop, which is really
when,
cool.
When was this done?
I think it might have been like 2010 ish.
Cool.
Right around that time.
Look at this.
But I think the only way you can get it now is just by like buying a streaming, like finding however it's streamed. They used to have DVDs, but they're gone and someone stole mine. So I don't even have my copy anymore. So
now, Trauma has their own app now, so it might be up there. I used to have that, but then I stopped paying just because I wasn't watching it enough. And a lot of the same stuff that I was watching is like on Tubi and shit. But honestly, if I see that it's up there, I might just get that for like at least a month or so, because it's only $5 or $6, so it's worth.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's a crazy concept, and my brother is named Pink Sock in it. If you watch it, his name is Pink Sock, and he's a part of the apocalyptic crew that's like just wilding out in the streets of Richmond. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Was this awesome. Film with like permits, or was it just
filmed? I think they just went out. They just went out there and just filmed it.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Guerrilla style fucking.
Yeah. And like I was really into like a bunch of those like just terrible, like Ginger Dead Man. Like I love that. Thanks Killing. Like it came out around the same time that I was just like in this awful, just like watching the worst horror films. And it's like there's a guy up in Jersey named Beelzebub, or I don't know what the heck his tagline was, but he had a bunch of movies like Jesus Christ Douchebag, and it was just like a skeleton with a crown of thorns and it was going around killing people. And dude, amazing stuff. And he also had one called Ant Hold Ant Farm Dickhole, where this dude had ants living in his penis, and you go jerk off, and then ants would come out and kill people and eat them. And it's just like the dumbest thing, and like the filming of it is just like, it looks like someone filmed it on like a flip phone. Like, it's so bad. But I bought the DVDs and I have them all like at my house. So, this is real trashy horror films. And my brother's movie fit right into that.
That's wild, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to
top of the list. No, I was going to say, those are going to top of the list. The team in the Ant Hill Dick Farm for sure. But
yeah. I'll bring it to that Brace War show for you.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be sick. Just watch it while they're playing.
Yeah. We'll just go somewhere else.
I had this goal last year of watching every Amityville movie. Now, because I enjoy them way past the point where you're supposed to, like part one, right? That's the only one that people actually seem to, I mean, part two, whatever. Yeah. But I really like 3D. I really like Amityville Dollhouse and Amityville. There's one with a mirror. I don't know if you've seen all these, but it's like a haunted mirror. There's one with like a haunted lamp. It's like anything from the house becomes haunted. There's like a haunted clock one. I actually love the clock one. So I was like, yeah, these are pretty cool, man. I'm just going to watch it all. And then it got to the point that you reminded me where this is like, okay, this is shot on your iPhone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, anybody can make an Amityville film, apparently. You can put Amityville in the title. And this is definitely shot on your iPhone. Yeah. And I cannot watch this. So I had my point where I just couldn't do it anymore. But I tried.
Now there's an Amityville Karen and like an Amityville in space. It's like,
yeah. Well, they always went to space inevitably, right? Like Jason went to space. Hellraiser went to space. I think Leprechaun did too.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, that was a thing. It's like when you get to a certain point, you got to go to space.
You know you made it when you go to space.
Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. And that's a. Don Mancini, the showrunner for Chucky, and like the one that's been like pretty much took over Chucky after it became Bride of Chucky and all that stuff. Even he said now at this point, if fans wanted enough, he'll send Chucky to space. So who knows?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Get him off his planet already.
Right. With him, it could kind of still like happen like in a semi realistic. Well, obviously nothing's realistic with Chucky, he's a killer doll, but it could still happen with him just wandering on a spaceship that's actually going up or something, or like Elon Musk is fucking shuttle or whatever it is. But
put him on the Challenger and just get rid of him already,
It would be kind of cool to like make a spoof of Elon Musk and have him go out there and kill a bunch of rich people.
Yeah,
commercial space flight. You could do a you could do a legitimate Charles play with that, I bet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But pretty much my last question I like to ask all my guests is, do you have a horror story of your own? And it could be from a show gone wrong or just something that was scary shit that happened in your personal life. And if you believe in the paranormal, you're more than welcome to share that as well. And whoever can think of their story first, is more welcome to just jump in first.
Oh no, I can't think of anything. I'm sure as soon as we stop this, I'll be like, oh, I should have said this. But
yeah.
Nothing really.
I've got all kinds of stuff, man. I believe in the paranormal, and I used to like actively look for things, like ghost hunt. But like, I would people are always like, well, how do you have all these things happen to you? And it's like, well, I go out and look for them, and I get into the, if you're looking for things, you might find it. And one of the scariest things that I think has ever happened to me, I was, actually, I've got two decent stories, but I don't know how much time we got. But I went to a really dark spot about 2009, 2010, and I started going really deep into theistic Satanism and talking to some people, and they were like, open it up, open up your communication and speak to pretty much Lucifer. So that night, I did this.
I'm not laughing.
I know. It's wild. I did this ritual, right? I'm finally like at my wit's end. I'm like, whatever. What's the worst that's going to happen? So I do this ritual, end up going to sleep, and I have sleep paralysis for the first time in my life. And I can see my body, and I'm floating on top of it, and there's a dark figure standing like right in front of me. And I was like, yo, in my head, I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. But I just remember being like, this is not okay. This is not okay. You got to go. Like I open the door and you have to go. And then I'd always heard like, if you have sleep paralysis, to try to move your fingers. Yeah. So I started trying to move my fingers and I finally woke up and I was like, damn. All right. That was wild. So a year later, let's just say a year later, I'm like, you know what? Man, my wits end again. I'm going to try this. Try the same ritual. Fucking sleep paralysis. Again, same thing happens. But my brother's friend is sleeping in the, like, on our couch. So I'm actually able, you know, by my astral body, I'm actually able to get out of the room and go. And I'm like shaking my brother's friend, being like, wake up. And I can see this dark entity like behind me. And I just remember walking by it, like, what the hell are you? And just getting back into my bed and just going to sleep. And I woke up the next day and I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to fuck with this anymore.
And
like,
we shared a hotel room last week too.
Yep. But nothing. Yeah. So I haven't done any like rituals. I haven't done anything crazy since then. And I've just been like, literally the only times I've had like sleep paralysis with right after those two things. And it was like the most wild. I talked to a buddy that got me into it and I told him, and he was like, he answered your call. And I was like, well, you know, like, wasn't expecting someone to pick up, you know, yeah. Like, you know, praying to God for 20 years of my life and I can't get a freaking hello, but call Satan and he's in your room in 25 minutes. So it's like,
yeah, he's right now. He's bedside service.
Yeah, man. But I've done a lot of ghost hunting and I've had like weird, just odd things where it wasn't just, that was just like a me experience, but I've had things happen where, I don't know. Do you have any stories?
I got
my rant. All right, I'll tell you one more. I got one more good one that's like pretty tight. Me and my buddies go ghost hunting in Manassas, Virginia, and we break into this house and we're in this downstairs where apparently this guy killed his family and then hung himself. And you know, I didn't know research. I'm just going off of what a buddy told me. And it's just a house. Like we're inside this house, so we all just leave. And I got my camera with me and we're just sitting next to the car talking about going to Denny's or going to wherever afterwards. And I just take a picture of the woods and they're probably like 500, 600 feet away. And I look at it and there's this huge yellow orb, like huge. I'm just like, hey man, check this out. When he looks at it, we hear this scream come from the woods and it sounded like something was running towards us. And, my buddy had come with me who did not believe in the paranormal at all. Like he was just like, okay, I'll come out and check it out.
Yeah.
So we all hear this scream and we all jump into all of our cars and we're hauling ass out of wherever we were in Manassas. And we're like, let's meet at the Denny's, meet at the Denny's. So we go to Denny's and one of my buddies was like, you all heard that scream, right? And I was like, yeah. Like, what the hell was that? So one dude calls his friend in Richmond and he's like a paranormal, whatever. Like there was some group in Richmond back in whatever year this was, 2006 maybe. And he's like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. That part of Manassas was known for blah, 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 whatever. So I get home, drop off my friend and my friend's losing his mind. The dude doesn't believe in ghosts. He's like, I've seen movies like this, blah, blah, blah. Something's going to be hiding. And I'm just like laughing. Like, I think it's hilarious because I'm just like, dude, nothing's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Get home to my house, open up the door, and my mom sleeping upstairs and just starts screaming.
No way.
I swear on everything. My mom just starts screaming. And I'm like,
what? Mom,
I swear to God. I'm like, what the fuck was that, dude? So I go upstairs and I had this little baby chihuahua, like my dog, and he never growled, like ever. And come in, he's sleeping, turn off my light. That dog is looking out the window, growling. So I'm like, what on earth, dude? So I start playing with him, get him worn out, turn my light off again. He's sleeping in my bed, turn the light off. He's right back at the window, growling. I'm like, sleeping with the fucking lights on tonight, I guess. Like,
fuck this.
Erase that picture. I was like, you know what? I don't know what that was. I'm going to erase that picture and just never. Like, I'm never going back there. I'm never going to find out what this was. But, you know, after my friend was like, oh, something's going to follow us. I've seen this. I'm like, I don't know. Mom screaming, dog barking. Yeah. I'm like, dude. By that time, it was like 5 a.m. anyway. So it was like, sun's about to come up. So I was just like, turn the lights on. But, yeah, it was pretty wild. We've had a lot of weird paranormal stuff in my house, too. My mom called me a couple of weeks ago about a photo. And she's like, I'm gonna send you this picture. Like, I tried to take a picture, the flash didn't go off, and I swear, like, my grandmother who died in my house is in the photo. My mom sends me this picture. I'm like, I mean, if you don't want to believe, you could be like, what, that's, you know, the cat's tail. But yeah, if you want to believe, my grandma's in that photo. So it's like, yeah. So my parents are always calling me with some kind of, a mom really, with some paranormal activity type stuff going on.
That just bums me out, because being a ghost would be boring as shit, you know.
I don't know about that. That's not me.
I mean, we just be scared.
I'd be wilding out.
Yeah, it's like, that's got to get old. Yeah.
Like, maybe. Scare this guy? Mean, Beetlejuice has been doing it for quite some time. He has fun.
Yeah, but he had a whole thing. You know, he wanted to, like, he had, like, a mission.
Yeah.
Even he's watched The Exorcist off the rails 300 here. Sometimes. He had to watch The Exorcist 300 sometimes just to get himself through it. So he's just, he's obviously bored.
Yeah.
But was it? He watched it to do the Beetlejuice role?
No, remember in the movie, he says, I watched The Exorcist 360 sometimes, and it gets funnier every single time.
Yeah.
No, I fucking love Beetlejuice. That's like the only quote that I quote. That's the only one I had in me, so don't ask for another one.
Yeah. No, I watch Beetlejuice every year, too. There's a few, like, movies, especially Halloween. Like, one of my another favorite movie, I don't know if we can consider this horror as well, but Sleepy Hollow. This has always been something about the Headless Horseman that I just absolutely, like, adore, like, ever since I was a kid. And like, that movie's not scary to me. My girlfriend will have the sheets up, but she's starting to kind of be able to watch that one. But absolutely love that movie.
Oh yeah, no, same. And it is, like, that's one that I definitely would consider a horror, like, again, probably folk horror, but with more gruesome stuff than, like, The Witch and stuff. But those are two movies that I definitely, because I watch horror all the time, and, you know, kind of like your basic horror movies, like, throughout the year, those are two movies that I always throw on, like, in October, because they're, like, definitely feel like spooky season and shit like that. So
yeah.
I start to swap to more of, like, the family, like, friendly horror stuff, which Sleepy Hollow movie is not really family friendly. That's some gruesome shit in that. But you, I had an attachment to it growing up too. You know, they always took us to, you know, plays and stuff growing up, and it was always like Sleepy Hollow and Telltale Heart double feature, shit like that. So,
yeah.
Hell yeah. But any other movies you guys want to shout out before I let you go or anything like that? I just wanted to make sure
we don't have movies. I got a couple of other like Mean Jesus type things I can shout out.
Oh yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, so New Age Records, we're going to have our vinyl coming out probably pretty soon by the time this is out. Ourselves, we have our own web store where you can get Abomination on cassette. Mighty Uproar was another small label that reached out to us and asked if they could do CDs. And I like having digital, like physical copies. Yeah. I like having physical copies of like everything, and especially like if I created it, like. So Mighty Uproar is putting out Abomination on CD, which should be out March 4th. So by the time this is out, our old record label, GGT Records, still has Noble Ambitions on 7-inch.
That was pre-Ian.
It was pre-me, but a ripper of an album. Absolute ripper. So they still have 7-inches of those. And then the Narrow Cinema, where Ryan's future wife works and runs it.
Yeah, I think her and somebody else. It's cool. Well, you're from the area, so you know they do like independent movies and stuff. And Halloween, I think every weekend they do like a horror, you know, different horror movie every weekend kind of thing. Yeah. Like the Flick It. Is it Flick It? I forget.
Flick It Fridays?
Yeah, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just went and saw that show on a Possession that they did at the Planetarium like 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Oh, nice. Oh, the Pretlow?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so the Narrow is a big part of Mean Jesus and the just, you know, Norfolk in general. Like, yeah, it's just such an icon.
It's a landmark.
They do, like, I mean, during the winter, Christmas time, they had Christmas Vacation, which is probably one of my top movies of all time. Like, Planes, Trains.
Scrooge is my Christmas movie.
I think they had Scrooge, too, this year, too, didn't they?
I don't know.
But yeah, Ryan, our bass player, is always sending us like, is what's going on at the Narrow, is what's going on at the Narrow. So Narrow is a huge part of Mean Jesus.
Oh yeah. Definitely. If you want to send me as many of those links as you can in the in an email when this episode drops, I'll make sure to put as many of them in the description, especially the ones that have like your, you know, records available at the time and stuff like that, your web store. And I'll even, you know, link the The website for the Naro, just for people that are interested in checking out the cinema for when they're in town, because it is like it is also what's the word I'm looking for? Not vintage, but it's like retro for the area and all that.
Yeah, it's like historic. Yeah,
historic. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's like historic for the area. So that's, you know, if anybody comes to, you know, visit Virginia, or if they're on tour, you know, coming through and stuff like that, and you know, they just want to go over there, you know, they're coming to the Norva and stuff like that. So definitely worth checking out. So but like like you guys said, they do like throwback movies almost every weekend. You know, it's just in October they do like horror movies. But I think like it was just the other week they did something that was not like, it wasn't anything. I think it was like Big Trouble in Little China or something like that.
I remember Ryan just showed us something for that.
So they do movies, you know, like all throughout the year. So it's not just, you know, in October and all that stuff. So and Christmas, but.
We've been trying to convince, well, at least I have, to do Monster Squad there.
They did Monster Squad there.
I've known about it. So.
That's cool. I took my kid there.
Yeah, I would, or Jurassic Park. I'd be like really super into seeing Jurassic Park there.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a fun one.
They did Brad, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, maybe Thrasher. Maybe those are good.
We need Ryan.
Yeah.
A little bit later in the generation, I want Airborne. That was the one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So was that? So I didn't like Airborne. I lump these movies together where it's like Rad for bikes, Thrashing, I guess, was a skateboard one. You could say Leaving the Cube, but I want more Thrashing. Then you had North Shore, which was like the same movie but for surfing, you know. But and then Airborne would have been the proper rollerblade version of the same thing. But I don't know. Even though I couldn't skateboard worth a damn, I was like too cool for rollerblading because it was in the 90s, and I was like. All my friends skated, and they all didn't like rollerbladers. Therefore, I didn't like rollerbladers, which is pretty stupid. Yeah. But I still did see it, and I enjoyed it. So,
Airborne was one that I got like hooked on super young, and then when I got older and actually started skating, Grind was actually my movie, which I know is way later than all those movies. But
yeah, really,
I just watched
Grind for the first time. I was a skateboarder, heavy skateboarder, growing up. And when Grind came out, I was like, that's a poser.
Yeah.
I'm not watching that, man. Like, so I finally watched it like last year or something. And I love the OC. So Seth Cohen, I don't even know his real name. Adrian Brody, I think.
Adam Brody.
Adam Brody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I watched it just and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It was pretty much Airborne, but skateboarding. Like literally it was almost the exact same thing with the Team Puck and Suds or whatever. It was like, you know, they were just
Grind
is skateboarding.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know rollerbladers grind on there.
They can.
Yeah. So it's all the same, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's just like when they did the MVP movies with the monkey. It's like that could be any fucking sport. We don't even know at this point.
I love that, like, just name most valuable primate. Like it was just like, who the hell thought of this? Just sign me up, man. Dunstan checks in, but like playing basketball or hockey or football or something.
Or it could be any of them. They all get MVP. But I appreciate you dudes for coming on, and you know, it was a blast chatting with you, and you know, maybe we could do a part two down the road.
For sure.
And as usual, I just want to say thanks again for listening, and make sure you check back Tuesday, as I'll be releasing a Tiny Terror episode on the film Immaculate, and this time around, my monthly co-host Ren will be the one breaking it down and giving his brief review on the film. I unfortunately haven't seen it yet, but he got to go check it out and was able to help me out with this episode, so super stoked for you guys to hear it, and a shout out to him for helping me with the Tiny Terror episode as well. So, also real quick, I overly corrected myself, Atomic Monster is James Wan's company, Bad Robot is J.J. Abrams' company, so when I first said that Atomic Monster was his company, I was correct, and then Creepy Puppet I think is just what he goes by on Instagram and stuff like that, so that's where I got mistaken. Also, next Thursday, I'll be joined by the one and only Adam Doherty, aka Creature Kid, makeup effects artist. He just recently got his own shop and his own crew put together, and they worked on his first feature-length film, Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls. But before that, he's been in the business sculpting and doing other effects for over 15 years, and he's worked on films like Predator, Malignant, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. He's worked on the Creepshow series, It Chapter 2, The Nun. So he's definitely been in the business for a while. So check back next week for both of those. Go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast. Make sure you join us next Wednesday if you're in the area in Virginia Beach at Keegan's Irish Pub for Horror Movie Trivia Nights. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and stay safe.